So it's Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 6. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Okay, the reading's taken from Mark chapter 1, and it's verses 40 to 45. Jesus heals a man with leprosy. A man with leprosy came to him.
Unclean! 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 Unclean. Unclean.
He begged Jesus on his knees.
If you are willing, you can make me clean.
Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. He said,
I am willing. Be clean.
Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning.
See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them.
Instead, he went out and began to talk freely.
I'm clean.
Spreading.
Jesus has made me clean. I'm clean. I'm clean.
As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet, the people still came to him from everywhere.
Right. Chickenpox. Who's had them? Lots of people had them. Who hasn't had them? Few people. Horrible. Chickenpox, horrible. I think we've got a picture to show. There you go. That's a really bad case, that. It's a very small child. I think that child had to be hospitalised. The chickenpox were so bad, covered in all these horrible spots. Another picture, you can get them when you're grown up as well. Nasty things. I got chickenpox when I was 14. It was nasty. Not a nice age to get them. If you've had it and you can remember it, you'll know you feel washed out. You're covered in these horrible, horrible spots. They absolutely itch like mad, don't they? I just want to rip them off with your fingernails. And as I say, I was 14 when I got it. And the worst thing about it was, I got it. Do you know what time of the year I got it? In the school holidays. I didn't even get a chance to get off school with it. It's the school holidays. I wasn't happy. So your friends can't come round to see you. You can't go out. I wasn't allowed out. It's not nice. Some people do go out, and people encourage them to, don't they? Because they want to catch it, get it over and done with. Chickenpox parties some people have, don't they? But it's not nice. But in our Bible reading this morning, now we met a man who had something far worse than chickenpox, a million times worse than chickenpox. He had leprosy. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Leprosy. Leprosy is a terrible disease. It's a disease that affects the nerves, the skin, the eyes, and the nose. And if it's left untreated, the nerve damage can result in crippling of hands, feet, paralysis, blindness. It's horrible. The good news is today, leprosy is curable. So since 1982, there's been a cure for leprosy. But up until 1982, there was no cure. Incurable. If you lived in Bible times, it was a terrible, terrible disease to get because there's no cure. But not just because of what it did to you physically. Now, we're just going to have a look at some pictures, what it does to you physically. So it's still around today, especially in lots of poor countries. It kind of affects the nerve ending, so you can't feel. And then sometimes, because you can't feel, you get ulcers on your hands. And sometimes you can have accidents because you can't feel. And it's a very, very nasty thing. There's another picture. Yeah, so that's a man in Myanmar. And you see how it's affected his eyes? So his... affected his sight. Yep, thank you. And that lady, I mean, that is a young lady, believe it or not, who's contracted leprosy. You see how it's kind of affected her mouth and her eyes and her nose. I don't know if we've got any other pictures on there, Dave? No. Right. Okay, we can take those off now. But you get an idea of how crippling it can be. And the worst thing about leprosy wasn't necessarily the physical side of it, but was the social side of it. It meant that you couldn't interact with people. You got separated from your family. You got separated from your community. So if you contracted leprosy, you had to leave your home and you had to leave your friends, and you could never, ever come back unless the priest checked you out and declared that the disease had gone and you were no longer ill with this terrible skin disease. You had to, until then, you just had to keep your distance from people. And you had to shout, as Simon did, "Unclean! Unclean!" to warn people that you were coming so that they could keep their distance. People looked on lepers with horror. People would kind of turn their face away. They're a terrible sight. So having leprosy made you an outcast. It made you untouchable. Your whole world would come crashing down when you heard those words from the priest, "You have leprosy." Imagine that man in our Bible reading. One day, he's having a wash and he just notices a patch on his skin, a light patch, a spot. And his wife says, "That doesn't look good. You might have to go to the priest and see what he says about it." And he goes to the priest and the priest says, "Yeah, it's leprosy. It's leprosy." And the man says, "Well, what's the treatment?" And the priest says, "Well, there's nothing we can do. It's no treatment. It's no cure. It's incurable. You've got to leave your home now, today. You've got to leave your family at once, and you've got to go and live alone outside the town." And the man says, "Well, how long do I have to stay there?" "Until you get better." "But I just thought you said that there's no cure." "That's right," the priest says. And so he'd have to go and live alone, away from everybody else. So you see, serious. To contract leprosy was to basically lose your life in some respects. It was the end of life, a death sentence, a living death. And so to be healed of leprosy was like being raised to life, raised from the dead. And in fact, that's how the Jews saw being healed from leprosy, as being like raised from the dead. And that's impossible, of course. Only God can do that. And that's what makes the request of this leper in Mark chapter 1 so astonishing. The leper is asking the impossible of Jesus. And this man believes that Jesus can do the impossible, doesn't he? But it's much more than a request to be healed. Did you notice that? Jesus doesn't ask the leper doesn't ask Jesus to heal him, does he? He wants Jesus to make him clean. Make him clean. This man isn't just physically doomed, he's spiritually doomed. To be a leper in Jewish law was to be considered under God's curse. If you want to check this out later, you can look at chapters like Leviticus chapter 14 or Numbers chapter 12. Leprosy was a picture, a visual reminder to the people, to all people, that we're all under the curse of death because of our sin, because of our failure to love God and to live his way. Having leprosy meant not just separation from people, from society, but being separated from God, being unclean before God, unable to have a relationship with God. The man comes to Jesus and he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. In other words, you can make me right with God. You can make me right with God, Jesus. And this issue of the need to be clean, to be right with God, makes this incident with the leper something that's very, very, very relevant for you and me. Because the Bible says that we have the same problem as the leper, not the disease leprosy, but we are unclean in God's eyes, all of us. And we're unclean because of our sin, because of our rejection of God's loving rule, of our rebellion against him, our failure to love him. And because of that, we're dirty in his eyes. And he has a problem with our uncleanness. He's holy, he's good, and in his goodness, he's totally opposed to everything that is evil in the world and in our lives. And because he's so good, God will condemn sin. And that means being shut out, being cast out of his kingdom, that wonderful place that we've been thinking about in recent weeks, cut off from God, outside the camp where everyone else lived. You'd have to be alone. And unless we're made clean, then we'll all end up being cut off from God forever. That's what the Bible teaches, finally and forever, put outside God's kingdom, which is the place of total loneliness, total isolation. And that's the reality of our position before God. That's what we face in our uncleanness. That's what we face, God's just condemnation. And that's why, like the leper, all of us, we need cleansing. And that's why what happens next is so important for us. Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Can Jesus do it? Will he do it? Does Jesus want to do it? Well, Jesus was indignant. We read that means angry, upset at the terrible suffering that this man is going through, suffering that sin has brought into the world. Jesus hates that. Makes him very, very angry when he sees what human rebellion has brought into the world. So what does Jesus do? Remember what he did? He reached out. He crossed the distance. He reached out and he touched the man. And he said, I am willing. Be clean. And the leprosy left him immediately. And he was cleansed immediately. That's so powerful, isn't it? So powerful. Just instantly, this man's terrible disease is gone. And he's clean from it. And it's so compassionate as well. Jesus touched him. He did what? Jesus did what? He touched him. He touched the untouchable. You weren't supposed to do that. And Jesus didn't need to touch him to heal him, did he? A word from Jesus would be enough. One of the things we see in the Gospels. Jesus healed people just by speaking. And this man is healed by Jesus' word. Be clean. But Jesus touches this man. It's very, very moving. The first human touch he has known for how long? Years? Decades? What compassion. Jesus touched him. No one else would. And Jesus cleansed him. No one else could. Only Jesus could do that. And he is healed. He's cleansed. He's got his life back. He can come back in now. He doesn't have to live out in the lonely places. He can return to his family. He can turn to his friends. He can come back into the community of Israel. He can worship God again in the temple. He can live again. That is the wonderful thing that Jesus does for him. Now, what does this teach us? Well, it teaches us that Jesus is the one who's come to make us clean. He is the King who's come to clean us so that we are fit for God's presence. We're fit for God's kingdom. As we said, we are, by nature, unclean. That's how we're born. We're born rebellious. We don't want to live God's way. We don't want to love him. We want to please ourselves and live our own way. God is pure, and because he's so good, he's not going to let unclean people like us into his kingdom. But he wants us to have life with him. He wants people in his kingdom. And so the good news of the Christian gospel is that God himself has come to make us clean so that we can be with him in his kingdom for all eternity. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, came to cleanse and not to condemn us. How does he do that? How does he clean us? And Jesus' touch tells us how he makes people clean. The lepers weren't touched, not because You could catch the disease, which you could. It's not as contagious, actually, as people thought it was, or what people think it is. But lepers weren't touched because you'd catch not their leprosy, but their uncleanness. By touching a leper, you would become richly unclean in the eyes of the Jewish law. And so by touching the leper, Jesus made himself richly unclean. He made the leper clean by himself becoming unclean, by taking that man's uncleanness. And did you notice where Jesus was at the end of the episode that we read? Anyone remember where Jesus was? He was alone. And he was outside. So as a result of the man spreading the news about Jesus, he couldn't keep his mouth quiet, had to tell people. Jesus, as he knew, had to go away. And Jesus now has to stay outside in the lonely places. That's where Jesus is. He's outside in the lonely places. Do you see what's happened? The leper who was an outcast, who was outside in the lonely place, has now been cleansed and has been brought in, restored to the community. He has a new life. Jesus now is outside. Jesus is in the lonely place. He's become an outcast. He's alone. The king, God's king, has traded places with the leper. And the outsider is brought in, and the chosen one is cast out. You see that? And it's a picture. It's a picture of what Jesus is going to do on the cross, of the sacrifice that he will make for our cleansing. You see, that's what in the Old Testament lepers had to do. And if by any chance, by God's goodness, the skin disease went, it disappeared, they had to go and show themselves to the priest. But that wasn't all they had to do. They had to go make sacrifices so that their guilt would be taken care of, so that their sin would be atoned for. And again, those sacrifices, those animal sacrifices, are a picture of the one true sacrifice that Jesus has come to do for us. And when he died on the cross, Jesus became like a leper. He was taken outside the city, we're told, outside the camp, to the lonely place, to a cursed place, and he was nailed to a wooden cross. This is what our first reading says. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, peace with God, was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. Jesus became unclean when he died on the cross so that we might be clean, so that we might be righteous, as we stated right at the start of our service in those Bible verses. God made him who had no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him, when we trust in him, we might become clean, God's righteousness, right with God. He became a curse on the cross, so that we might have God's blessing. That's how sinners enter the family of God. Jesus was cut off from God so that we can come near to God and stay near to God. Because the Son of God was forsaken by the Father, we can join the family of God. For us to be made clean, Jesus had to be made unclean for us. God doesn't overlook our uncleanness, our sin. Jesus didn't overlook our sin. He's just, and he justly dealt with it. He conquered it by taking it on himself, being punished for it, and doing away with it in his death on the cross. Wonderful news is now that we can be washed clean of our guilt. We can be washed clean of our sin, all of it, but only because Jesus died for us. There's a wonderful verse in the Bible that says this. It says, the blood of Jesus, that's the death of Jesus, purifies us or cleanses us from all sin. Not just some sin, all sin. His death washes us clean once and for all, if we believe in him, if we trust in him. So here's the big question. Have you asked Jesus to make you clean? Have you done that? Have you asked him? Maybe you've never asked Jesus to do that for you because you think you don't need it. Is that you? Well, the Bible says you do need it. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. We're kidding ourselves. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to clean you because you think that you can do it yourself. You can scrub yourself up by doing a few good things and you can be acceptable to God that way. The Bible says you can't. Can't. Problem's too deep. The infection's too widespread, too deep-rooted. Only Jesus can clean you up. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to clean you because you think you're too dirty and you're beyond hope. Lots of people like that. The Bible says you're not. You're not. And his death can cleanse us from all sin, whatever it is that we've done. However high the big black mountain piles up, he can deal with it all. And maybe you've never asked him because you think that he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to forgive you. Listen again to what he said to the leper. I am willing. And that's what he says to you as well. He's willing. He's love. He's compassion. Can I ask you, if you haven't asked Jesus to clean you, to do that today? Do what that leper did. Just come before him. Humble yourself before him. Admit your sin, your uncleanness, that you've failed to love God and you've lived to please yourself. Admit your helplessness to do anything about it and ask him to make you clean, and he will. Just like that. Now, there are lots of people here who will have done that. Lots of Christians here. Maybe you're here this morning and you're plagued with doubts as to whether the Lord really has cleansed you of all your sin. Have you ever had nagging doubts like that before? We all have, haven't we? We all have. Maybe we're feeling dirty because we've fallen into some sin and we're convicted of our guilt. Well, we need to hear again and again this wonderful truth of the gospel, this good news. By faith, the moment we put our trust in Jesus, we are forgiven, we are washed clean, and that lasts. And that means that black mark, whatever it is, of anger, of gluttony, of lust, of malice, it's been washed away. It's been washed away forever. Yes, we are guilty sinners. That's who we are. But we're not just that if we've trusted in Jesus. If you've put your trust in Jesus, you are a guilty sinner whose sin has been dealt with. It's been dealt with. We're guilty sinners who were forgiven. We're guilty sinners who've been cleaned. We're guilty sinners who are loved. We're guilty sinners who are new because of Jesus' death and resurrection for us. That's the good news. This is the good news of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King. He is the King. He has all the authority and all the power in the universe. That's what we've been saying, isn't it? He has all authority. Authority over evil, authority over sickness. And today we see, and next week we'll see, and the week after we will see, the most important thing that we can ever see is that Jesus has authority over sin. He has authority to forgive sin, rebellion. He uses his power and his authority to help powerless people like this leper, people like us. He uses his power and his authority to wash dirty, undeserving people like me and like you, to wash us clean by dying in our place and rising for us. But he doesn't just have all the authority. He has all the love in the universe as well. All the love. And when I see that, when I see that Jesus has all the power and all authority and all the love, the logical thing for us to do, the logical thing for you to do, for me to do, is to do what those fishermen did that we saw a few weeks ago. And that's just to leave everything and follow him. It's to give my life, my all, to love and follow him. When I see how he uses his authority, I want to do that. Let's pray. Father, we need Jesus so much. We're helpless and lost without him. And we thank you that you sent him to us because you love us and you want us in your kingdom. We thank you that he has all the authority and all the power to deal with sin and all the love in the universe to deal with sin. Not only has he the power to deal with sin, but he wants to. He wants us, you want us in your kingdom. We praise you that you are such a loving God, and we thank you for sending us such a powerful and a loving King, Savior Jesus. Please help us all to embrace him in love with all our heart, by faith. Help us to embrace him and accept him as our King to rule us, as our prophet to guide us, and as our priest to take away all our sin and our death. And we ask this in his name. Amen.